Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration will come to order. Please take your seats. Clerk will note that a quorum is present. We have a few members who are still making their way back from the Capitol, but we're going to go ahead and start. We do have a quorum. Just like to thank you all for signing up for the committee. We have got a very good committee with some couple of freshmen and some staff, so we're going to go through and just do very, very, very brief introductions of the members and staff before we get going. And our committee administrator and our CLA are both here, and committee administrator is Anna Bellin, and our CLA is Diana Stepanek. Who will you be contacting if you're going to be late or absent, obviously? And why don't we just go around the horn, and we'll just introduce ourselves very, very briefly for the purposes of getting to know particularly our staff. And we do have one freshman. We have just one or two freshmen. Oh, King. And for their benefit in particular, Kurt Dout will also be the vice chair of the committee. So why don't we start over here on this end with Representative Paymar.
Representative King Banyan from St. Cloud.
Joyce Pepin, 32A, Northwest Suburbs.
Sarah Anderson from Plymouth and Medicine Lake.
Tara Mack from Apple Valley and Burnsville.
Tim Kelly from Red Wing on down to Wabasha.
Joel Hoppe, Chaska and Chanhassen.
Matt McCormick, House Research.
Anna Bellin, Committee Administrator.
Matt Dean from Stillwater.
Diana Stepanek, Legislative Assistant.
Kurt Dout from Isani County.
Carolyn Lane, Columbia Heights, Ridley, St. Anthony.
Norton, Rochester.
Larry Hawes, Walker, Minnesota.
Kathy Breinert, Mankato.
Leon Lilly, North St. Paul, Maplewood.
John Benson, Minnetonka, Plymouth.
Kate Knuth, New Brighton, Arden Hills, and parts of Shoreview and Fridley.
Aaron Murphy from St. Paul.
Deborah Hilster, Brooklyn Center, parts of Brooklyn
Park. And where are pages?
I sent one of them to find members.
Our pages are going to be Susie Murthen, Patrick Kazula, and Michael Held. So they will be helping us out. And Representative Westrum from Elbow Lake is making his way in as we speak.
Mr.
So,
Chair? Representative. I'm here, too.
Oh, Bud.
Bud Norn is Watertail County, Fergus Falls.
I'm sorry, Bud. So as folks are just making their way in, welcome you all to the committee. Due to the nature of the committee, obviously we're going to be meeting at different times and at different places. We're probably going to start out over here when we're going to be spending most of our time in committee, moving across to the Capitol building when we're going to be spending most of our time over there. The objective is to try to maximize the time of the legislators. Also, in case you haven't noticed, I like to start on time and I like to finish on time, so I do appreciate that, and I would like to note for the record that the majority, almost entirety, of the late members were from my side of the aisle. Sorry about that. Just moving ahead, obviously, we're trying to maximize our time, but also would be a move through in a judicious manner. And obviously, being on time will be very important because the legislature will be many times waiting on us to get together for the floor. So we want to be very, very judicious of our time and realize that we are not just wasting our own time, but that of the staff and everyone else. So please make every effort you can to be on time. If you can't, please contact Diana Stepanek. If you can't be here, I will extend Representative Solberg's rule that if you are not here, we will assume that you have a very, very good reason not to be here and will be excused. And we will try to be as accommodating of each other's time as possible. So if either the time or the location does not work for folks, particularly on the minority side, please let Representative Pawlowski know, and we will try to accommodate either time or place or for that matter, agenda as we move forward. I would like to move into the duties at hand. We need to approve some personnel listing. I'd like to call Kelly Knight to the stand. Could you introduce yourself for the record and get going on our employee listing for submissions?
Yes, I'm Kelly Knight. I'm the Director of Human Resources for the House. And the materials that you have before you, the one that says employee listing for submission of rules, this is a listing of the staff that are currently on the roster. And I will say there are a handful of staff that are missing that we're still waiting for some paperwork on. So that doesn't mean that they're not going to be paid. So there's just a handful of them that are missing. And this is current staff. In addition to that, you will see the change, the new hires, and this is all the appointments that have been made since the last time the Rules Committee took up this particular report, much of them being from 2010. In addition to that is the change in status. Again, these are all the changes in positions that have occurred since the last time the Rules Committee approved this report. And then finally is the termination report. And these are all the staff that have been terminated since the last time this report came before the committee.
Any discussion? I have a question, Ms. Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Have there been, would there be the same person hired more than once within this report, or is everybody
yes.
just hired once? Would their name just appear once, and if it appears more than one time?
There are situations where someone can be hired multiple times. They may be on this report, they might have been hired last summer as, or sometime last year during session as a temp. Then they would be on the termination report, and then they might have been hired back again this session. So there are situations where they could be on a report multiple times.
Further discussion? Hearing none, I move that we ratify the personnel decisions contained in the report. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion prevails. Next will be House Resolution P1. I would move that. Ms. Knight.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, members, this is the House's policy on service award recognition. And the policy, it's the same policy we've had in place for a number of years, and staff are recognized for their service at 2 years, 5 years, and then every five-year increment after that. And there have been no changes to this policy from previous years.
Any discussion to the P1 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Members of the committee, I'd move the P2 amendment. Ms. Knight.
Mr. Chair, members, this is the House policy on donated vacation time. And this policy, there have been no changes since the last time this was adopted. It allows staff to donate their vacation time to another staff person who has been out for a serious health condition for longer than a six-week period of time. And in order to use that donated time, the person first must exhaust all their vacation and their sick time.
Any discussion? Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. I would move resolution P3 at this time. Ms. Knight.
Mr. Chair, members, this is the policy on compensation time and time card policy. And this not only discusses the House work hours, but also goes into how the compensatory time works for staff. And if they choose that option for additional hours that are worked, how they can earn that time, or how the summer hours program works for staff that don't work a significant amount of overtime. And again, there have been no changes to this policy since last time it was adopted.
Any discussion? Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Next in your packet, we will move to a series of resolutions. Resolution R1 through R6. Beginning with Resolution 1, Resolution on the House Chaplet. Mr. McCormick will explain these resolutions. And if you would introduce yourself and move forward with Resolution Number 1, Mr. McCormick.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Pat McCormick. I'm a House Research Staffer assigned to the Rules Committee. The R1 resolution establishes compensation for the chaplain at $35 per legislative day with an honorarium of $2,000 per year. It's the same as has been adopted in prior years.
Discussion. Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of the resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Adopted. Resolution 2, Representative Hoppe.
I'd like to move the R2 resolution, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hoppe moves the R2 resolution. Mr. McCormick.
Mr. Chair, members, this is the standard resolution on leadership compensation. Per Minnesota statutes, specified leaders receive 140% of the compensation of other members, and this puts that in place. It's the same as has been in place other years.
Discussion of the R2 resolution. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Resolution 3, resolution on expense reimbursement. I would move the R3 and call Mr. McCormick.
Mr. Chair, members, this is the resolution specifying the amount of and ways that expenses are reimbursed for members. Included in this are reimbursements for lodging, for per diem, for mileage and travel expenses, for the occasional night at a hotel if a member needs to for a conference or for a meeting. This is, with one exception, this is the same as that of prior years. The exception is found on page 1 of the R3, and that is on line 11. In prior years, there was no cap on total reimbursement. So a member who opted to take year-round housing would have had a total possible reimbursement of $28,800. This year, the total reimbursement has been capped at $21,600 for the biennium, so that's a 25% reduction. In all other ways, this is the same as the past reimbursement.
Discussion. Representative Reiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just would call your attention to line 18, page 1, and ask if there maybe is an oversight on that date. Is it meant to say December 31st, 2011? I'm not sure. I mean, this is that, unless I'm misreading that, that only covers a one-month time period.
Madam Chair, that should read 2012.
Okay. All right.
You could save a lot of money there, people.
We would incorporate striking 2011, inserting 2012. Thank you, Representative Briner, for catching that. Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Chair Dean. I was just wondering about on page 2, line 10, the mileage reimbursement of those living over 50 miles. I'm just wondering if you could give a little background on why some members are reimbursed for mileage and some members are not reimbursed for mileage, and the policy for determining that members who live a shorter distance away.
Mr. McCormick.
Mr. Chair, Representative Pepin. This is tied to the IRS policies on reimbursement. The House dovetails when it can reimburse for mileage. Joel Michael of our office is here if you would like to get further into those regulations and how they read, because he's a tax counsel. But we tie these distances and these reimbursements to the federal regulations on when an employee can be reimbursed for mileage.
For the discussion, Representative Westrom.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Knight, a question for you. If this isn't the appropriate time, we can bring it up later. The House said admin vendor pays or direct pays, in some cases, apartment rent or house rent for members if they have a lease. Is that the only thing the House admin can direct pay or vendor pay? Or it's been brought to my attention that, like an internet service or something like that, they can't make the payment directly, or is that false information?
Representative Westrom, Ms. Knight is not at the table right now, but we see somebody else coming forward. The House Controller, Mr. Crow, if you would come introduce yourself for the record and do your best at responding to Representative Westrom's question.
Mr. Chair, Representative Westrom, Greg Crow, Acting Controller. Right now, all we have direct pay set up for is the housing contracts.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Crow, is that just because that's what you've set up in your office, or policy doesn't allow it, or what would be the reason?
Mr. Chair, Representative Westrom, my understanding is that's partly if bills change on a monthly basis, it's more difficult to have direct pay set up, and that's the case sometimes when you have phone or internet providers. And so it's easier to work with a reimbursement in those cases than have a direct pay.
All right, okay. So like a furniture rental or something like that, if it's a steady payment, or internet, if it's the same, it's possible, but if it fluctuates, that's where it gets to be a problem.
Mr. Chair, Representative Westrom, that's correct.
All right.
Representative Norton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had a question about the change that we were making on line 10 and 11. Could somebody give a little history? Has that cap typically been reached by people? Are we going to be affecting a lot of people with this change, or are we lowering it because not very many people reach that cap of the 28 and lower it to 21?
Representative Norton and Mr. McCormick.
My understanding, and I think the Controller Crow could probably answer this, is that there's about 60 members who use year-round housing under the current, but Controller Crow could probably answer that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Norton, Greg Crow. I think the current number is about 52 or 60. The projected number is 59 and maximum. And in the last two calendar years, there were 17 members that exceeded $21,600 in their lodging reimbursement in the 2009 and 2010 calendar years for those sessions.
Representative Norton.
And so, if I'm understanding this correctly, it's primarily the people that have the year-round housing contract that are running over, and that perhaps they could do a year and a half and end at the end of and still be able to do a sign a lease with someone.
Mr. Chair, Representative Norton, that's correct. It's the people that were going over tended to have 24 months worth of rent, and if they had either chosen a lower rent place or had a shorter term contract, they wouldn't have exceeded the cap.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kroll. Further discussion? Yes.
Mr. Chair, I'm just curious as to by how much did they go over on average? Was this a short amount, a small amount of money, or was it 6 months worth?
Thank you. Representative Mr. Crow.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hillstrom, there's a range. Obviously, the max was 28.8 with a 24-month, $1,200 a month contract. And there was one member at that level. There were four members in the 28,000. There were a handful that were only over by looks like 1,000 or two. I mean, it's a range. So,
thank you, Mr. Crow. Further discussion? Seeing none, I would move the adoption of the R3. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Resolution's adopted. Resolution 4, resolution on members' personalized stationery allocation. Established stationery budget. Mr. McCormick.
Mr. Chair, members, this is the standard resolution by which we allocate stationery to each member of the House of Representatives. It's the same as in prior years.
Thank you, Mr. McCormick. Discussion. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Has there been given any consideration to reducing the amount of stationery or to prorate it based upon the members' usage at all?
Representative, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the second part of your question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Has there been any efforts to look at the overall usage of member stationery and perhaps prorate it based on how much a member uses their stationery, given the technology that's available to us now?
Thank you, Representative Anderson. I have heard discussions from some members about ordering less, reusing their previous amounts of stationery in order to reduce the overall expenditures and reduce the amount of paper we throw in the recycling bin. But maybe, Mr. McCormick, you have any other information on that from questions from other members?
Mr. Chair, my understanding is that we gain savings by ordering these in bulk, and that members, if they would like to, can inform the controller if they would like to order a lower amount, which would save money. Some members use every piece of stationery that we order for them, and others have some that holds over.
Thank you, Mr. McCormick. Further discussion? Seeing none, I'd move the adoption of the R4 resolution. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Resolution is adopted. Resolution 5, resolution on postage, sets our budgets for the members. We have no changes in this from the last session. And if you could briefly explain this, Mr. McCormick.
Mr. Chair, each member receives an allotment for postage, and that set is set here in this resolution. And once again, this has, as you stated, there are no changes.
Discussion. Representative McNamara.
Does it actually say, thank you, Mr. Chair, do we actually get twice as much postage in 2011 as 2012? Or am I reading that? Is the number listed for 2011 actually the amount that's for the 2 years?
Representative McNamara, could you get a page in line for Mr. McCormick, please?
Page 1, line 6 and 7.
Mr. Chairman, Representative McNamara, the amount allotted in 2011 is $2,112 for each member, and the amount in 2012 is $1,056. Or
Further discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Benson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just curious. I don't remember when the last rate change for first class postage was. Has that changed since the last time the Rules Committee allocated these funds for postage? I don't believe so. Just curious.
Thank you, Representative Benson. I do not know. Mr. McCormick.
Mr. Chair, I don't believe so either.
Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll follow up on Representative Benson's question with another postage question. Don't the stamps that we order now, instead of doing the meter when we get the stamps, aren't those forever stamps? I mean, whatever we buy them at now, aren't they going to be good even if there is a rate change? I've still got the 23 centers left in my desk, but I'm just curious.
Thank you, Representative Hoppe. Mr. McCormick.
You need to be more constituent.
I think the controller is here to answer that question.
Thank you. Representative Knuth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think this is the case, but I'm not sure. Is if money not used in 2011, does that stay with a member through their term and roll over into 2012 with the 2,000 postage allowance and the additional 1,000?
Thank you, Representative Knuth. Mr. McCormick?
I'm sorry. I was answering Representative Western's question. So I didn't
the question is, is there carryover in the postage allotment per member?
Yes, Mr. Chair. On line 10, you'll note that the balances from 2011 will carry over into 2012.
Mr. Crow, would you have a follow-up on the previous question? Or
Mr. Chair, Representative Benson, unfortunately, I don't have follow-up, but I did see something in the files as I was paging through about an adjustment to the postage rate or the resolution because of the change in postage rate, and I'll try and find it and get back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Crow. Further discussion? Further discussion? Seeing none, I would move adoption of the R5 resolution. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Adopted. Resolution 6, resolution of reimbursement of members' communication expenses. Mr. McCormick.
Mr. Chair, you'll note that a member is allowed to request an allowance of up to $75 per month for internet services or an additional residential phone line, optional television services, wireless services, or other communication expenses. These are to maintain communication between constituents, House staff, other government officials. Allows for a receipt to be sent in for reimbursement. This is the same policy as was in place in the prior legislative biennium.
Thank you. Discussion. Representative Howes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner McCormick, a few years ago was this, we got a $125 allowance, if up to $125, if we itemized. But if we didn't want to itemize, we could just get 75. Is this the same as that? Could a person itemize, or did we change it in that direction?
Thank you, Representative Howes. Mr. McCormick.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Howes, under the prior majority, the policy, which had been up to $125 with itemization, was changed to a flat $75 per month. And one of the reasons cited at that time was expense for itemization and validation was eating up staff time and was costing more than it was worth. So this is the policy that the majority adopted, I think, later into their tenure.
Further discussion on the R6 resolution? Sure. Representative Westrom.
Mr. Chair, probably a question for one of the controllers if they want to come up. My question is, do we require itemization, or is there an automatic amount if members turn in for that? And as I recall, there's a consequence, Representative Howes. If you take it automatic without receipt, you have taxes deducted out of it. Is that the same policy we'll follow through with at the $75 level, or is there a change?
Thank you, Representative Westrom. Mr. Crow is making his way down at this time.
Mr. Chair, Representative Westrom, it's at the member's option to provide documentation or not. If documentation is provided, then the $75 per month is not taxable. If documentation is not provided and the $75 per month is paid to the member, then it is taxable.
Thank you, Mr. Crow. Mr. Representative Westrom?
That's it.
Thank you. Further discussion of the R6? Further discussion? Seeing none, I would move adoption of the R6 resolution. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Resolution is adopted. Resolution 7, resolution on administration of the high school student page program. Mr. McCormick.
Mr. Chair, this is the standard resolution allowing the page program to go forward and setting reimbursement for pages, including a stipend per day and lodging expenses. This is the same as has been adopted in prior sessions.
Discussion of the R7 resolution? Seeing none, all those in favor of the R7 resolution signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Resolution is adopted. Resolution 8, resolution on photographic equipment usage credit. Mr. McCormick.
Mr. Chair, this is the standard resolution which allows the payment to the permanent staff photographers for use of their equipment, and this is the same as has been used in prior sessions.
Discussion to the R8? Discussion. Seeing none, move adoption of the resolution R8. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Resolution is adopted. Move resolution 9, resolution in the payment of legal fees and expenses. Mr. McCormick.
Mr. Chair, the House representatives from time to time makes use of outside counsel. This resolution sets a standard per hour fee for payment of legal fees and expenses at $200 per hour. This is the same as has been used in prior sessions.
Discussion to the R9 resolution? Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor of the R9 resolution, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Resolution is adopted. R10, resolution on tuition reimbursement. I would move the R10. Mr. McCormick.
Mr. Chair, from time to time, permanent employee of the house may receive tuition reimbursement, and this sets the amount and the conditions for receiving that tuition reimbursement for ongoing education, and this is the standard resolution that was used in prior years.
Thank you. Discussion to the R10 resolution? Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor of the R10 resolution, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Resolution is adopted. Now move the P1, resolution on per diem. Mr. McCormick.
Mr. Chair, this sets the policies for when a member may receive per diem living expenses during the interim, including all the familiar rules that you may must have sign off from the committee and task force. The request must be in writing. This is the standard per diem interim policy that we've used in prior years.
Discussion to the P1 resolution. Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Resolution is adopted. That is through our agenda, and I appreciate everybody's attendance, and we will be in touch on the next meeting. Meeting is adjourned.